Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I read the sermon text for today, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever read a book, maybe it's one that you're really excited about reading, and instead of starting at the beginning, you skip to all the way to the last chapter? You ever do that? See, I've never done that either. And I know some people have done that, because they're so excited about reading the account, the story. Maybe it's a mystery or something. They got to know, you know, how it comes out in the end. But I feel that ruins the story, doesn't it? We're going to do that this morning. We're going to jump to the end of the story. I'm going to read for you Matthew chapter 21. The gospel you heard from the lectern was Matthew 24. This is chapter 21, where we have actually the end of the story. Not to ruin it, but to make it all the more significant, astounding, and hopefully understandable, so that you recognize why it is that today we begin this new Christian church year, the season of Advent, that time of preparing, not just for, you know, celebrating Christmas properly. That certainly is a part of it. But more importantly, we need to know what the end of the story is so that we even understand what Christmas is all about. Why that's even important. You know, it's not family and your presents and all that stuff. It's the greatest gift ever that God gave to us in the form of His Son. But not just that birth in Bethlehem. It is also the essence of our faith is the fact that that baby in Bethlehem grew to be a man who lived a perfect life for us and then even went to the cross to suffer and die in our place. That's the reason for preparing our hearts and our minds to know Jesus, our Savior. The one who rescued us from sin, death, and hell. And did all that in our place so that we might have eternal life. And He comes today as a king. Matthew chapter 21 presents to us the event of Palm Sunday. You're familiar with that, right? Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem on the back of a lowly donkey. But this humble, lowly king, the king, God's prepared rescuer and redeemer, is the one who comes to be our Savior. That's what we need to understand. That's the question that we have to ask as we jump ahead to the last chapter and ask, who is this one who is coming? He is, in fact, first and foremost, one we need to know and to believe in. People in Jerusalem thought they understood. The people, at least in the crowds, were told in our text, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Great. Got to be somebody important, right? You don't just have a parade for no good reason. It's got to be somebody important. Something that hasn't happened for centuries in Jerusalem, at least not somebody Jewish who's important. And they actually spread their cloaks and branches on the roadway as this person is coming in on a donkey, a lowly, gentle, humble pack animal, for a lowly, humble king who is coming. That too, you don't do just for anybody. This has to be somebody who's really important. And then to say, Hosanna to the Son of David? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest? That Son of David. Well, yeah, Jesus was a descendant of great King David. Generation after generation, on down the line. The Son of David. But that was a title far more significant than just simply that David was an ancient ancestor. That was a special title designating the fact that the one whom God had promised would come, one specific descendant of great King David, would be Messiah. The promised Savior. The one whom God had promised to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden would crush the serpent's head and deliver all people, sinners that we are, from that curse and judgment that stood against us. He would be the Son of David. You could look and find him in the line of great King David. And he comes in the name of the Lord. He's set apart, he's designated, he's sanctioned by God himself. He comes to do the Lord's work in the name of Jehovah God Almighty. And so they sang Hosanna. Anybody know what that word means? We usually associate that just with Palm Sunday. Do you know what it means? Save us now. Stunning. To stop and think about it, isn't it? I mean, this lowly, humble preacher, this itinerant teacher, this sometimes rabble-rouser, as some thought of Jesus, this miracle maker, he's the one who has come to save us? Hardly seems possible, right? On a donkey. But the crowds acclaim him. Yes, let's make this one our king. It's far better, certainly, than hazardous Herod or silly Caesar or pitiful Pilate. Those rude Roman leaders, we don't want them anymore. Let's make this one our king. He can certainly come and rescue and restore Israel of old. He can restore the pride and prestige and power and might of the former Israel nation, right? This prophet from Nazareth, he has proved himself over and over again. Can you hear the wheels spinning in their heads? He will restore Israel to its former glory. If only they understood. If only they really would have known who this one who is coming actually is. Because they thought, if this was a great king, what about this donkey thing? That doesn't make any sense. How is that in any way, you know, going to show us that he's a mighty deliverer? That's why the people in Jerusalem were told in verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Who is this? They didn't understand. But that should come as no surprise. Because you and I wouldn't understand either by ourselves. Remember, even some of the early disciples didn't really recognize who this prophet from Nazareth actually was. When Philip was called by Jesus to be one of his disciples and he went and found Nathanael, remember what Nathanael said? Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? And then he realized when Jesus told him, I knew you when you were sitting under the tree, that this is no other than the Messiah, the great deliverer. You are the Son of God Himself. And enemies of Jesus didn't acknowledge him either, obviously. You know, they aren't gonna admit anything about Jesus, especially when he comes and performs a mighty miracle and heals those who are blind, are sick, are lame, and so on and so forth. And they wonder, well, if he drives out demons, isn't he then in league with Satan himself? When Jesus was honored by that sinful woman who cried tears and wet his feet, they said, if he really was a prophet, he wouldn't even let her touch him. When the disciples were out in the Sea of Galilee and a storm came up, and then he got up and silenced the storm and the waves just by speaking the word, even the disciples asked, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? This has got to be somebody special. But who is it? Who is it that enabled a lame man, born lame, called on him to get up, take his mat, and go home? Even he didn't know who that one was. And neither would you and I, but for the grace and mercy of God. In fact, Jesus himself reminds the disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. When Jesus informed the disciples that he was going to go away and then come back, could only wonder, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and then in a little while you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. The Apostle Paul gives us the reason why that is so dark and misunderstood and hidden from every one of us. When he reminds the Corinthians, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. And what did Paul preach? He says, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for they, if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so you and I would also see just a lowly preacher riding on the back of a donkey, making out like he's something special. But he is. This is no less than the very Son of God, our Savior. You and I wouldn't know that either, because we too are dead in our transgressions and sins. We have a sinful mind that is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. We are, in fact, totally blind to all spiritual truth without God, the Holy Spirit, turning on the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's by the work of the Holy Spirit, who brings us to faith in Christ our Savior. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The Spirit gives life The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Yet Jesus said, there are some of you who do not believe. There were plenty who didn't yet understand this. And so ask that question, who is this one who is coming? The very reason why you and I are here this morning is because God has turned that light of faith on in our hearts. We have come to know who this is because God worked the miracle of faith in yours and my hearts. Never take that for granted. Never assume that is something that you maybe did. That somehow you made that choice. Never forget God worked in your heart to bring you to know this one who is our King. And that is absolutely essential. It's all important to know and believe this. That's why John, the Gospel writer, wrote 21 chapters in his New Testament Gospel. So that you may believe, as we said in our liturgy today, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. So that by believing, you may have life in His name. Without that word and the working of the Holy Spirit, we too would still be lost and blind. Except for the grace and mercy and call of God. How utterly essential that is for us, especially today in our present world and society that is so saturated with secularism that sidetracks people's attention to what? Santa Claus, Rudolph, parties and presents, spending your money, making sure that everybody is happy and joyful and gather together. And those are all important to some extent and degree. Don't get me wrong. But what is absolutely essential? Why are we gathered here today? What is Advent all about? Pointing us to Jesus, the only Savior from sin. All those other things that distract us. If it's not Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus, then it's absolutely worthless. And maybe my own circumstances cause disruptions and distractions and dysfunctions. There are all kinds of things that cause me to have misplaced priorities. Right? Me, me, me. Shop, shop, shop. Get more, get more, get more. Spend, spend, spend. Money, lottery, riches. We have been called on today to make preparations to know and believe and focus on Jesus, the only Savior. The humble, lowly one who is coming into Jerusalem to suffer and die as the perfect sacrifice for yours and my sins. We're called on to know, to believe, to focus on that humble, lowly King who comes, who rose again in Easter resurrection victory 3 days later. We're called on to know and believe and focus on that humble, lowly King who is coming again. Coming again soon. To judge all people. And also to believe and to know and to focus on that lowly, humble King who is coming to take you and me and all believers to Himself, to our heavenly home in the mansions of glory. That's the King who is coming today. Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee, from God. He is the one who is coming, promised by God long ages past, who actually then did come some 2,000 years ago and was laid in Bethlehem's manger. as we soon will celebrate, but who is also coming again. He comes now to our hearts, our minds, and our souls for our eternal salvation, and the one who also calls on us to be prepared, be ready, to be alert to his coming again. That's what this day, that's what this season of Advent is all about. That's why we celebrate and look forward to his coming again. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, our King. Amen. Let's join now to confess our Christian faith. In the words of the Apostles' Creed, it's on page 163 in your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.